Letters.
On Russia and Ukraine, Mohammed Mustafa, Bitcoin, God and sex, and the theories of Sam Vimes.
You should get out of Russia.
From Natalia Popovich, co-founder B4Ukraine Coalition, Copenhagen. Divestment Dilemmas, article March 2nd, gave an impression of Western companies being stuck in Russia, facing no pretty choices. Such framing removes any agency and responsibility from the Western businesses that chose to remain in a country that shows no respect for human or investor rights. Companies that are willing to leave the Russian market do indeed face mounting risks, but it is imperative to understand how they allowed themselves to be in this precarious situation in the first place. Russia's war on Ukraine began in 2014 with the annexation of Crimea and the occupation of parts of the Donbass, so foreign companies still operating in Russia have had 10 years to make decisions based on sound risk assessment. Because of its lawlessness, the Russian government already de facto controls the assets of all remaining businesses. The list of companies expropriated by the Kremlin extends far beyond the cases of Danone and Carlsberg to include firms such as Uniper and Fortnum, as well as attempts to arrest the assets of Russian subsidiaries of Deutsche Bank, Credit Suisse and others. As of November 2023, the Russian courts imposed 93 seizures on the assets of foreign firms. Values matter too. It has been 2 years since the invasion of Ukraine and 125,000 war crimes have since been committed by the Russians. The remaining Western firms are facing the consequences of their short-sightedness and greed. Foreign companies in Russia have always had a choice, and they still do now. Instead of trying to remain and navigate Russia's state-controlled chaos, they should drop their keys and leave, writing off the losses and maybe taking their cases to international arbitration. Fortnum, a Finnish utility, has done this.
From Greg Wilson, former Deputy Assistant Secretary at the U.S. Treasury Department, Estero, Florida. America's Republicans have floated the idea of converting economic assistance to Ukraine into a loan. The idea came from Donald Trump. Overloading Ukraine with more debt, given its precarious economy, would jeopardize the IMF's current Extended Fund Facility Stabilization Program, which is a loan. An American loan in lieu of direct economic assistance, even on concessional terms, would significantly burden Ukraine's precarious fiscal outlook, complicating the IMF's debt ratio guidelines for further lending. Moreover, this idea sends the wrong signal to other donors to Ukraine, who might follow the American example of offering more loans and fewer grants. If America and Ukraine's allies are serious about unlocking the value of nearly $300 billion in Russia's frozen assets, article Free Exchange, March 2nd, they should abandon this unhelpful loan option and accelerate efforts to confiscate the assets in order to help Ukraine before it's too late. Congress should pass the Repo for Ukrainians Act now.
Choice words.
From Neil Alexander, Ottawa. Mohammed Mustafa, the new Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority, offered some nice words, article By Invitation, March 17th. But there was no criticism of the Hamas rampage on October 7th, or the continued holding of hostages, or the previous rocket attacks on Israeli civilians. Without this, why should Israel bother thinking about a two-state solution?
The forms of Bitcoin.
From Dr. Neil Smith, Head of Research, Altus Investment, London. You tried to make sense of Bitcoin's price appreciation, but only referenced the Bitcoin Core version of the protocol, article Back to the Moon, March 9th. Bitcoin Core is the most popular Bitcoin, but there are in fact three functioning versions, each with a limited supply of coins. Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Satoshi Vision are both more functional payment protocols. Bitcoin Cash is focused more narrowly on privacy. Bitcoin Satoshi Vision has restored the original protocol and targets that the pseudonymous Satoshi Nakamoto wanted for an efficient payment system for small casual transactions on the internet, and also the smart contracts alluded to in his white paper from 2008 and later writings. Although the media are still largely obliged to follow the ad populum fallacy of only referring to the degenerate protocol as Bitcoin, lawyers for BlackRock did note these issues in the prospectus for its Bitcoin exchange traded fund. The lawyers suggest that at some point the ETF sponsors may be obliged to disagree with the crowd and switch protocols.
Greek sex gods.
From Dr. David Opdebeck, Professor of Law, Seton Hall University School of Law, Newark, New Jersey. The Economist's list of what to read to understand God and sex, article The Economist Reads, March 14th, suggests that Catullus and Sappho, two poets, are reliable guides to Greek and Roman attitudes about sex before Christianity. Perhaps. But there was no mention of the Stoics or Socrates or the later Platonists. As in the history of Christendom, popular attitudes and sex practices in ancient Greek and Roman culture often diverged from the more ascetic philosophical views that recommended self-control over dangerous passions. Your reading recommendations were also silent about the extensive literary deposit of Jewish engagement with Hellenistic culture, which can also be understood to include the canonical Gospels and the letters of St. Paul. These reveal an age-old philosophical and theological tension between the created beauty of sexuality and the human tendency to indulge passion without reason. This fundamental tension between sociability and exploitation was not invented by prudish Christians, nor can it be erased by modern excesses of the appetite.
Power and the People.
From Robert Fraser, Salford. Henry Biggs enthused about the Boots theory of inequality as expounded by Sam Vimes, a character in Terry Pratchett's Discworld series, article Letters, March 2nd. The Boots theory is often trotted out as a pithy justification of left-wing calls for redistribution. Less well-known is Vimes's Swing Theory from Night Watch. In that book, Vimes is disgusted by left-wing activists who are intoxicated by their own narcissistic sense of virtue and who see humans only as pawns to the imposition of ideology. People on the side of the people always ended up disappointed. They found that the people tended not to be grateful or appreciative or forward-thinking or obedient. The revolutionaries were faced with the age-old problem. It wasn't that you had the wrong kind of government, which was obvious, but that you had the wrong kind of people.